Be'ezras Hashem Yisparech, today's daf is the 81st in Shas, daf Yud Tes in Maseches Shabbos. Three lines from the bottom we pick up. Tana Rabbanan, we were discussing different machlokios between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel vis-a-vis Shabbos. Now we begin with a machlokis vis-a-vis Pesach. Beis Shammai Omrim Lo Yimkar Adam Chamotza Lenochri. Person should not sell his chametz to a Gentile. Elam Ken Yodea Sheikhla Bob, Sheodea Bo Sheikhla Kodama Pesach. Only if he knows that the Gentile will have it destroyed before Pesach. Divrei Beis Shammai, this is Beis Shammai's opinion. Rashi and Pesachim Achof Aleph Amin Aleph explains that the rationale for Beis Shammai is that a person needs to destroy his chametz on Pesach entirely. It has to be mavur min ha'olam. It's not enough that it's just not in his possession. Beis Hillel has no requirement that it be entirely destroyed before Pesach. Anytime he's able to eat, he's allowed to sell. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, kutach habavli kol mine kutach also limkar shloshim yoyim kodim ha'pesach. Rabbi Yehuda says that one is not allowed to sell kutach habavli 30 days before Pesach. Rashi says an amazing thing over here. This is a fascinating marimakum. In the second Rashi on the top of Yutessam and Aleph, Rashi says that just like we have a halacha that the Gemara tells us in Pesach in the Shloshim Yom Kodim L'Chag in the first parak Darshim Hilchas Pesach. So too, he says Rashi Chola Azoras Pesach. Halav already 30 days before Pesach, he needs to worry about chametz, and for that reason, he needs to sell his kutach habavli. Rashi above that explains that kutach habavli lasts very, very long. Since it has long longevity, so then already 30 days before Pesach, that kutach habavli could still be standing on Pesach itself, and for that reason, he needs to be mivayer it, or sell it. Rashi in Pesachim al Chafalaf HaMebeiz explains that the Shita of Yehuda is that he follows the Shita of Beis Shammai, that the chametz on Pesach needs to be entirely destroyed, and normally a kutach habavli is eaten in a 30-day span, so if it's longer than 30 days, then it will be eaten by then. However, less than that, it could last, and therefore selling it to a Gentile is not enough, and one needs to destroy. The Gemara continues with another halacha about giving something to a Gentile on Shabbos. And the Gemara first starts with the following halacha. Two lines from the top. Tana Rabbanan on Yutessam and Aleph. Nois nim mizonos lefnei akela b'chatzeray. A person is allowed to give food in front of his dog in his chatzer b'chatzer. Not lo v'yotza einis kakinlo. If the dog takes it out and carries it, the Jew does not have to chase after him. Say, no, doggy, come back. Take it out from him because he's carrying. That you don't have to worry about. Similarly, if you give a Gentile food in the courtyard, he's allowed to take it out, and you don't have to worry about it. Asks the Gemara, Hasulamali, why do we need both cases? Hainuhach, they're essentially the same type of halacha, that both, if the behema does it or the guy does it on their own, then ain't niskakin loy. Mal de same harami aleva hai lo rami aleva, explains Gemara. I would have thought that when it comes to his own dog, there it's his responsibility to feed this dog. So then, in such a case, when the dog is dependent on him, so then there's a chiyuv to give. If there's a chiyuv to give, so then ain't niskakin loy. But when it comes to a guy, it's ain't niskakin loy. Excuse me, it's ain't rami aleha. So that he doesn't have a chiyuv to give him. So since the guy's parnas is not a chiyuv on him, in such a case, maybe he should not give it to the Gentile. Kamash malan. No, the chidush is that he can and he doesn't have to stop the Gentile. Tosis asks that in our sugya we assumed that a goy is a mezonos alav, and the Gemara later on and daf kuf nun hey amabez says that you're not allowed to give food to an chaya on Shabbos, because ein mizono seha alecha, you're not responsible to give him, just like here in the case of the goy. And for that reason, it's usher to give on Shabbos because of tircha. So when it comes to your old animal, then there is a chiyuv, and therefore is no isser of tircha. But for a chaya, it's usher to give food because of tircha, the Gemara says. What's the difference between the two? Taisus answers that even though there isn't a chiyuv midoraisa to give a guy, and for that reason, on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to feed a guy, because the only heter to cook is, to cook for a guy, the only heter is Litzarech, and it's not considered enough of a Tzarech. Nevertheless, the Gemara in Gittin tells us that Mishum Darkei Shalom, for ways of peace, we allow and we encourage Jews to give charity to Gentiles as well. And so therefore, because there is some level of tzorech, it's not considered tircha, and the halacha is that one would be allowed to feed a Gentile on Shabbos. The Gemara continues with another halacha vis-a-vis a guy doing malacha on Shabbos. Tan Rabban lo yaskir adam kelev lenachri b'erev Shabbos. A person shouldn't rent his utensils to a Gentile on Erev Shabbos. B'dalad v'hei mutter. But on Wednesday and Thursday, it will be permissible. Rashi explains, lo yaskir adam, that it means that he's not supposed to rent him his utensils that he uses on Shabbos, because it appears as if he rented it for Shabbos itself. And Tosus adds in Dibra Maskulo Yaskir that the prohibition over here is that it appears as if he's taking, the Jew is receiving Schar Shabbos. A Jew is not allowed to receive money, particularly for something that he rents out only for Shabbos. Similarly, Emeshachin Igaros Bianochi Berev Shabbos, a letter can't be sent with a Gentile on Erev Shabbos. Bidalid ubehe mutter, but on Wednesday and Thursday, it is permissible. Tosis explains that if we were talking about the pure Isser of taking Schar Shabbos, so then in such a case, it wouldn't simply appear as if he's taking Schar Shabbos, it would be Mamish Schar Shabbos if the Cheshbon is day to day. In other words, if they made up $40 a day and each day is being paid separately, then it's Mamish Schar Shabbos. But Tosa says that if it's done for a month or a week, then the prohibition is it appears like Schar Shabbos. And therefore, if they do it on Wednesday and Thursday where it no longer appears like Schar Shabbos, in such a case, it's going to be permissible. Hence, Ein Mishachin Igaros Biyad Nachri Be'er Shabbos Bapidalu Behei Mutter. Amru alav al Rabbi Yossi HaKoin. It is said about Rabbi Yossi HaKoin v'amri la Rabbi Yossi HaChassid. Some said it was Rabbi Yossi HaChassid. Shelo nimtzik sav yodo biyad nachri me'olam. You could never find his handwriting in the hand of a Gentile ever, because of the fear that the Gentile might carry his letter, be his mailman, on Shabbos, and it will appear as if the Jew had made him his Schir Yom on Shabbos, which is prohibited. The Gemara continues, Tanu Rabbonon, Ein Mishalchani Geres Biyad Nochri Erev Shabbos. One is not allowed to send a letter with a Gentile on Erev Shabbos. Elim Ken Kotzatz Loi Domin. Only on the condition if they made up a price beforehand. Rashi explains in Elim Ken that if a price is made up, this is an expression that we have in Halacha called Kablonus, that if it was made up beforehand, so then in such a case, the Gentile is not doing work on behalf of the Jew. In other words, there was no day that the Jew had instructed the Gentile to do it. He said, when you get the job done, when you send it to this individual, then I will pay you. Beishamay Omrim, Beishamay says, Kidei Shiagia Lebeso. Even if they've made up a price, the Gentile must make sure that the letter is received before Shabbos. Ubeisilal Omrim, Kidei Shiagia Lebeisa Samach Lechoma. That the Gentile has to reach the city of the individual that resides there. After that point, no one's going to know who it was sent from. And therefore, there's no chash that will appear that the Jew who had sent it had initiated malacha on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, v'halo kotzatz. What's the problem, according to Beis Shammai, at the end of the day, they made up that was done on kablonus. Amar Rav Sheshes Hachi Kamar. Even if it was done on Kabbalah, so even if there was a set amount, and the Gentile is no longer doing malach on behalf of the Jew, and if he decides to do it on Shabbos, the Gentile is deciding on his own, Hachi kamar v'im lo katzatz beishamay omen sheyegia lebeisa. Marsha explains that the kasha v'alo katzatz is the following. Didn't you, in the Reisha, seem to indicate, everything is fine if it's katzatz lo damim. Ein mishalchim, elim kein katzatz lo damim. So how come Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel qualify later on? L'chura, if it was already katzatz, there should be no concern. Amar Rav Sheshes, hachi kamar. The Maharsha explains that there is already signs from the Sugya and Yechesam and Beis that we would have a concern even katzatz, but from the simple opening line of the Braisa, sounds like katzatz solves all problems. The problem is that the Seifa seemed to contradict it. Amar Rav Sheshes, hachi kamar. V'im lo katzatz, if there was no tzitza, if they hadn't made up before in Beis Shammai or Matshi Gila Beis Yisrael or Matshi Gila Beis Hasamach Lechoma, that if there wasn't katzatz, so then in such a case, then it will be permissible if it was Yagia Lebais Samach Lechoma, according to Beis Hillel. Asks the Gemara, but that's also difficult. Va'amrit Reisha Eim Meshachim, but the Reisha had said, don't send until katzatz. Mashma, that the only time it's mutter is katzatz. And if it's already katzatz, we revert to the original question. Then why do you have to be makbid for Atshigah Yilabesa? Answers the Gemara, lo kasha. There's no contradiction. Ha de kviya be doar bimasa, vaha lo kviya be doar bimasa. It depends on whether there is a clear destination for the post. A doar is not the way it's used today in modern Hebrew. It means someone who ruled the city that people used to send them letters. That if there is a doar in the city, so then in such a case, we don't have to worry about the letter not being given before Shabbos, because everybody knows where it goes, and there is not going to be a chash of the malacha being done specifically on behalf of the Jew on Shabbos itself. Where did the Reisha say, Ein Meshalchen Elim Kein Katzatz? That's where there's no doar. And then, where there's no doar, there's a requirement to be kotzitz. When there's no doar, and there's a requirement to be kotzitz, then everything is taken care of by simply making the ktsitsa. If there is a doar, and they're not required to be kotzitz, nevertheless, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel tell us that because of the appearance, we need Kadesh Yagia Lebeso or Kadesh Yagia Lebayis Hasamuch Lechoma. Mark continues, Tanur Rabban, Eima Fligim Besfina Pachos Mishloshim Yom Kod Shloshim Yomim Kodim L'Shabbos. Person can't go on a boat more than 3 days close to Shabbos. In other words, from Wednesday and on, it's prohibited for him to go on a boat. Bamedvar Mamurim, when does this apply to Dvar Rishus? If it's a personal reason, Avladvar Mitzvah, Shapir Dami. For a mitzvah, it is acceptable. The Masifta Gemara counts no less than 6 different explanations, which have nafkaminas as well, la halacha, for why it's iser usser for a person to ride on a boat on Shabbos. Interestingly, Rashi gives us no explanation, and we will go, then we're learning the daf yomi, we'll go with Tosis's mahalach. Tosis says that the reason why it's prohibited, Tosis claims, unlike other Rishonim, that even within the Tchum is going to be Aser. Tosis is coming to be Mafkia from the Shita of Rabbeinu Chananel, who says that there is an Isser of Tchumen, and rather the Isser is the Isser of Shat, which is described later on in Kuf Lamites Amebez, and that is that a person is not supposed to build a raft or swim because of the fear that he might come to make the raft itself, and therefore the ship is prohibited. The Mishnah Brura explains that the reason why I'll be mutter before Wednesday in his Agdama to Simon Reish Memches is that there's already a significant heker, and a person won't come to be shot if he reminds himself already by doing this 3 days before. In general, we make mistakes when we're rushed. Even when it's permissible, upaisik imay almanas lishpais, he has to make up with the captain to rest, ve'ena shaves. And even if the captain does not of the ship, nevertheless, from his perspective, he asked for the ship to stop. Divrei Rebbe, Reb Shimon Gamliel Amar, eina tsarach. Reb Shimon Gamliel says that one does not need to. Umitzor letzidon afilu be'erev Shabbos mutterlo. To go from Tzor to Tzidon, which was a short trip, that's permissible even on Friday, because it didn't even take a day's time.
that would be acceptable.
Mark continues, Tana Rabbanan ain't sarin ala yoro shel nachrim pachos m'gimel yomim kaidim l'shabbos. One is not supposed to set siege to a Gentile city within 3 days of Shabbos, lest one come to do malacha on Shabbos. V'mischilu, but if he's begun, ain't mafsikin then in such a case. If they've begun, they shouldn't interrupt. V'cheino yishamei oimer, Shamei said that that's the pasuk in Dvarim, which concludes ad ridita. The whole pasuk is uvanisa matzara liir asher he osay imchan milchama ad ridita. The mitzvah is to do milchama until it's been, as we were describing hip English, until it's been taken down. Ad ridita, the literal translation actually fits into the modern lingo, until it's taken down. The mitzvah it would be then even on Shabbos, but lichatchila it should begin more than 3 days before Shabbos. It's quoted in the name of the Tshuvas HaRivash, Simin Kuf Aleph, that the reason that it's permissible to Michal Shabbos is not because of Sakana. In other words, even if there isn't an obvious Sakana in front of us, nevertheless, one would be able to be Michal Shabbos. Some point out that the Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Chav Beis in Elcha Shabbos, writes that one is allowed to eat treif on in cases of milchama, even if right now there's no sakana, because if one is going to be machmir, eventually it'll lead to sakana. Others, for example, if you see the Svas Emes on our sugya, after going through some beautiful nuances in pshat that I love to do in the Iyun Shir, but we cannot do, unfortunately, in the Daf Yomi Shir, points out that from our Gemara, it's mukhrach, that there wasn't a sakana. Nevertheless, he claims that the reason why it's mutter is because the mitzvah of kibush, as described there in Dvarim in Perichov, would be Doche Shabbos. I give you the Marim Mekomos, the application, and the implication. We have to leave for another time. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Shimon Galil, Noagin Hayu. The Mishnah had described on the top of Yuches Amid Aleph, continuing where the end of the quote ends in our Gemara, Beis Abba Shayinosin Kli Levein Koves Nachri Shoshim Yom Yomim Kodim L'Shabbos. That we had the custom that we gave the clothing to a launderer 3 days before Shabbos. Rashi in the Mishnah already introduces us to the concept that the Gemara is going to deal with, and that is that white clothing are difficult to launder, and Rav Shimon Gamliel, as one of those who followed Beis Shammai, who required that the malacha be done by the Gentile before Shabbos, and giving the option to the Gentile to do the malacha during the week or during Shabbos is not enough. But rather, it has to be that the malacha will not be done by the Gentile on Shabbos. Since the laundering of white clothing takes 3 days, it has to be done before. And that's a svara of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Our Gemara quotes a brisa in this context. Tanya, 10 lines before the wide. Amar Bisad, Kachay Minhoga Shel Rabbi Gamliel. This was all the custom of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon's father. Shainosan Kli Lavan Lekoves Gimel Yom Kodem L'Shabbos. He gave the white clothing to a launderer 3 days before Shabbos, utzvuim, and colored clothing, afilu be'erev Shabbos. Here, we could be more lenient, even according to Shammai, to give the colored clothing on erev Shabbos, because it takes less time for it to be laundered. Umidreim lamanu, and from these words we also learn, shalavanim kashin lekapsin yosem minatzvuim. That's a lot harder to launder white than it is colored, because you have a lot less time that's needed. It could be even given on Erev Shabbos to launder the color clothing. Must be because they're easier to launder. The Gemara now brings this out with a couple of anecdotes. Abaye have Yoav le'ahu mana d'tzviya l'katzra. Abaye gave his garment to a katzra, is also a kovetz, is the Aramaic word for a kovetz, a launderer. Amalei, he asked him again, an expression that's common today as well, Kama boyisalve, how much do you want for it? How much do you want on it? In other words, how much do I have to pay you for the laundering? Amalei kidichiyura, he answered him, like the white ones. Try to get it from him the same price for white clothing. Amalei Abai didn't accept it. Kfar kadmucha rabbanan, the rabbanan beat you to it. Rabbanan already taught me how not to get ripped off, because they taught me that when it comes to laundering the white clothing, it takes 3 days. to the point that you have to give it to the launderer more than 3 days before Shabbos. Yet when it comes to the colored, it's totally different rules. So therefore, Abaye rejected the price that was originally suggested to him. Abaye continues with another lesson. Amar Abaye, hay man diyav mana lekatzra b'mishcha. If someone gives a launderer something that has to be laundered, b'mishcha nesivle u'b'mishcha nishkamine, he should measure it before he gives it. So here the comma would be, hay man diyav mana lekatzra, comma, b'mishcha nesivle u'b'mishcha nishkamine, he should give it to him when it's measured, and then measure it, in other words, before he gives it to him, and measure it when he takes it back from him. D'itfei, because if it got longer, afsadei d'matrei, the koves, the launderer, ruined it when stretching it. They would clean it. In the process, they would clean it. They would sometimes pull it out to be able to get to the dirt, but if they pulled it too hard, they would stretch it out. The batzer, and if it becomes less, afsadei d'kavtzei, they ruined it with hot water by making it shrink. Sound familiar with our t-shirts that shrink in the wash? We go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah concludes by mentioning one thing that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree on. V'shamen elu ve'elu shetanin koros Beis Chabad v'igulei hagas, that a person is allowed to set up the crushing of olives as well as wine, grapes, before Shabbos, as long as it's begun before Shabbos, even though it will continue, the liquids will continue to ooze from the pressure of the Beis Chabad and the Igulei Hagas. Those were the tremendous wine presses that they used, that Rashi describes in detail in Dibra Maschel Shetoin and Yudches Amud Aleph. That here, Beis Shammai is Mekel. So the Gemara immediately on our first wide line, Yud Tesman Al, 5 lines from the bottom, 7 lines from the bottom, asks, at the end of the day, Beis Shammai here seems to change his tune. Ma'ishna kula de gazu Beis Shammai. And generally, Beis Shammai is Machmer when it comes to Shvisas Kelim. Why is it over here that Beis Shammai is so makel? That normally he makes the gzeira. Kulu gazu Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai generally makes the gzeira. Ma'ishna koras Beis Chabad v'igulei hagas lo gazu. Yet when it comes to wine olive press, he's going to be makel. Answers the Gemara. Hanach the avalu b'Shabbos mechayev chatas gazu Beis Shammai erev Shabbos imchashecha. All the Beis Shammai's isurim above were that they would bring the person lidei malacha on Shabbos itself. Vamevin yavin. It seems quite clear that the Gemara is not going with an understanding of Beis Shammai in the Mishnah as prohibiting cases as Shvisas Kelim, but rather it's an Otu Malacha type of case. This would have to be compared, for example, to what we had seen in Tosis Dibre Amaskel Lo Yaskir, as well as the position of Rav Yosef on Daf Yudches Amud Aleph that we add parenthetically. So in those cases where it might lead you to an Isser Malacha, Gazru Beis Shammai, Erev Sheikha, Irish Shabbos, Simcha Sheikha, Koriz Beis Chabad, V'Igulei Hagas, the Avalu B'Shabbos, Lo Mechayev Chatos, Lo Gazru. So Gemara's answer is the following, that in our Mishnah we had cases that were also according to Beis Shammai, lest you come to do Malacha D'Oraisa. Let's give an example. You can't have your dye soaking on Shabbos, because you might come to actually do the dyeing on Shabbos itself. However, no problem, even if you've got the Beis Chabad set up before Shabbos, what's the chash? Lest you come to press on Shabbos. In such a case, that doesn't constitute an Isser D'Oraisa. Why is that? So really, the best way to see an explanation is to look back in Rashi on Yudches Amud Aleph, where he quotes our Gemara on the fourth narrow line in Rashi towards the top of the Amud that says Ubi Gemara Parach, and he quotes our Gemara. And there Rashi explains that when there is an Issur D'Oraisa of squeezing olives and grapes as described in the Gemara on Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, those are only virgin grapes and olives that have not been squashed before. That in such a case, Talad Al Dash. However, if the wine press is put onto the olives after they've been already ground in a millstone, similarly when it comes to grapes where they've already been stamped on by people, that most or a significant amount of the liquid has come out, it's only an Isur Derabbanan. That's what our Gemara, as we're about to continue, calls Memela. Man Tana the Kolmidi Dasim Mela Shapir Dami. Who is the Tana that says that whatever comes out Mamela as secondary? Rashi explains at the end of that Dibur HaMaschil, right before the beginning of the Gemara in Yudches Amud Aleph, that without the beam, the waters, the liquids, more precisely, the wine and the olive oil would have flown out of their fruit without the beam as well, since they had already been pressed on. That's what the Gemara refers to as Mamela. Man Tana de Kol Midi Dasim Mela Shapir Dami. Who is the Tana who says that whatever comes Mamela is acceptable? Amar Rabbi Yosef Chanina, Rabbi Shmali. This follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmali, the Snan, Hashum, garlic, Vaboyser, that's young grapes, Vahamalilos, are young stalks of grain, Shariska Mebodyom, that have already been mashed when it's daytime. Rabbi Shmali, Lami Yigam Mishatech Shach. Rabbi Shmali says you're allowed to have hana from what oozes out on Shabbos itself. You could put them into a keli and wait for them to ooze out, says Rashi at the end of our Amud. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Lo Yigmar. Rabbi Akiva says that you should not let them complete. Whatever oozed out before Shabbos is acceptable. Whatever didn't is not acceptable. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina explained, then that our Mishnah, which permits, would be going according to Rabbi Yishmael, in contrast to Rabbi Akiva. Mara on the top of Yutes Amud Beis offers another explanation from a different Amora for what is behind the reason that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel permit oil that had begun to be pressed on Erev Shabbos to have Hanah from the oil that was pressed out on Shabbos as well. The Rabbi Elazar and the Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, as Rashi explains, Omar, he said, Rabbi Elazar, that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. Stam Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. Disnan, as we learned in a Mishnah, Chalos Dvash Yeriskam Erev Shabbos, if there's loaves of honey that were pressed on Erev Shabbos, V'yatsu me'atzman, the Tanakhama says, Asur, Rabbi Elazar, Matir. Tanakhama says, prohibited to have Hanah from it. Rabbi Elazar says it's acceptable. Why? Because of the idea that we had said before, that if it's Memela, it's not going to be Asur. So now we have two different explanations of what the source for our Mishnah is, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina's and Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas's. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina, my time alone, my Rabbi Elazar. Why Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina connected to the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael, who said Yigmar Mishatech Shach, and not go to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, as quoted by Rabbi Elazar on top of our Amud? Amalecha, he would say to you, Hasamu demei kara oicha lub saif oicha. Over there, it started out as originally food, and it ended as food. Hacha mei kara oicha vahashta mashke. In our case of the olives and the grapes, there it's a bigger chidush, because it was ochel before Shabbos, and it ended up on Shabbos mashke. The juice had not oozed out until Shabbos. There would have been more reason to make it Asur. The fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas allowed Dvash, that was Ochel Me'ochel. It was originally Ochel, when it was a loaf of honey, and when it oozed out, it's still considered Ochel. From here we see, says Rashi, that honey that oozes out from its honey loaf, or its comb, is considered Ochel afterwards as well. Why then do Rabbi Elazar go to the honeycomb? Rabbi Elazar Amalecha, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, who quoted Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, he will say to you, Hashemina leilu Rabbi Elazar dafilu zeisavan nom nami shari. No, this is the same sheet that Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua in all places, that he allows even olives and grapes as well. Dachi yasa Rav Oshia min arda, asa vaisim asisim biyadli, zeisavan nom shriskum erav Shabbos, viyatsum atzman asurim. There's a Tanakham who says that they're prohibited. Rabbi Elazar, that's our Rabbi Elazar Shemua, Rabbi Shimon Matirin. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon are Matir. So therefore, when he was quoting Rabbi Elazar, he was quoting Rabbi Elazar's general Shita, which appears in the Mishnah, as well as we can see in the Gemara, in the Spraisa that we saw in regards to Zeisim Vanovim as well. For Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, why did Rabbi Yosef HaChanina then not go with Rabbi Elazar Pedas? Braisa lo shmiyalei. He was not familiar with this Braisa. Rabbi Elazar, my time lo amar Rabbi Yosef HaChanina. Why did Rabbi Elazar not go with the source of Rabbi Yosef HaChanina that we saw on the bottom of Amud Aleph from Rabbi Yishmael? Amalecha lavitmar lo amar Rabbi Bar Chanina Rabbi Yochanan. b'mechusarin dicha. Rabbi Yochanan already told us if there's Rabbi Yochanan had taught b'mechusarin dicha. If there was something that was missing in the standard mashing of a fruit, so then the kulei alma lo pligi. Then everybody would agree that it's also ki pligi b'mechusarin shchika. The machlokus exists when it's a later stage. Every fruit, when you want to get something from it, so then in such a case, then you do dicha. Shchika is not as common. That's the more advanced stage. V'hani nami, claims Rabbi Lazar, kimechusarin dicha damu. And these are a case of mechusarin dicha. Hence, according to Rabbi Yishmael, it should also be problematic. The machlokis, the key pligi that Rabbi Lazar is describing is the machlokis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. That's only by mechusar and shchika. Here the chiddush is that even when it's mechusar and dicha, beishamai is meikel. Hi, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shmuel. In regards to machlokis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, pasnak Rabbi Shmuel, shemen shel badodin umachzol shel badodin, rav osir ushmuel shari. Oil that's left over for the balabayis, that's usually stuck between the presses and his mats that are used to cover the olives. We have a machlokis, what's the halacha vis-a-vis muktzah? Rav prohibits it, says it's muktzah, Ushmuel shari. And Shmuel says it's permissible. Rashi explains the Dibur HaMaskul Shemen that really this part, Shemen Shel Badodin, is not directly related to the previous machlokis. In a moment, we'll say why it was brought down. First, let us summarize what we had in the previous sugya. We saw that Beis Shammai is mekel by Koras Beis Chabad. According to Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, one can connect the machlokis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, in which Rabbi Shmuel says that garlic, for example, that had been crushed on Erev Shabbos, if it continues to crush, one could have anah. Maybe that is the source for the heter of Beis Shammai, or Rabbi Lazar had suggested that the source was the opinion of Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua that said that honeycomb that had begun to be crushed on Erev Shabbos can be used on Shabbos itself. Ultimately, the Gemara discusses the strengths and the weaknesses of both opinions. Rabbi Lazar does not like Rabbi Yosef Hanina's source because he claims that our sugi is talking about something that's mechusar dicha, and there Rabbi Yishmael was not necessarily meikel. Ultimately, the Gemara says that in the machlokas of Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi Chanina had paskin like Rabbi Yishmael. Now the Gemara began to discuss Shemen Shabbadodin. Rashi explains that once we were discussing about the halachos of Beis Chabad, so then we began to discuss other halachos of Beis Chabad, and that is the shaila of muktza in regards to the oil. That if you have oil that is left over in certain places that generally went to the balabayis, so that oil is considered muktza according to Rav. Rashi explains that the reason why, according to Rav specifically, it's muktza, because we're going to have, in general, a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon later on in our Masechta, for many instances where there's, whether we're gozer, the iser of muktza. And in one sentence, if you have something that hasn't been positively activated for Shabbos, that a person said they want to use Shabbos, on the other hand, the person didn't push it away for Shabbos, so then we have a machlokas between Bishim Rabbi Yehuda, something in between, whether that's muktza or not. This is a great example of that. The oil, on the one hand, no one said, I don't want to use it. On the other hand, they didn't say, I want to use it. So there, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that will be problematic. As the Gemara says later on, Kuf Nun Vav and Beis, as Rashi makes reference to in Dibur HaMaskil Rav, while Rabbi Shimon, who disagrees, who doesn't hold of Muksa, again, that's a misnomer, which means he doesn't hold of the Parva cases of Muksa, Shmuel follows him. The Gemara continues, Hani Karchi Duzuzi. Rashi says, Karchi is a type of mat that was used to cover produce and merchandise. Zuzi is a lashon of double, that they were used as double. They were propped like a tent over merchandise. Again, we have this machlokas in regards to muktzah. Now we've gotten on a tangent. Now we get involved in muktzah. So this is Lishitasim again. Rav Aser Shmuel Shari. Again, it's one of those bland things. You, on the one hand, it wasn't activated. No one set it aside for Shabbos. On the other hand, it was not pushed away necessarily for Shabbos as well. One of the classic examples of a machlokes between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda, that Rav Shimon was followed by Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda was followed by Rav. The Gemara begins another set of examples. Amar Rav Nachman, Eza chalba v'rogel l'gizasa. When you have a goat vis-a-vis its milk, and a sheep vis-a-vis its wool, v'tarnegolas l'beitzasa, and a chicken vis-a-vis its eggs, v'turi diredya, turi is a shar, tof and shin is interchangeable, ridya is an important expression that means for plowing, v'tamar diiska, as well as dates that are ready to go for schora, iska's business. Again, we have these on the one hand, they're ready, on the other hand, they haven't been set aside. Rav Asar Shmuel Mutter, who commifly plugs at Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. They're arguing in the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in all of Mukta. Mark continues, Ahu Talmud, the Ori Bechadta the Argas. There was a student who taught in the place of Argiz, that's a colorful place. We'll explain in a moment. First, let's say what he taught. Kiribi Shimon, he passed like Rabbi Shimon. Shamte Rav Amnuna, Rav Amnuna put him in Cherem. Asks the Gemara, what's so bad about saying that we passed like Rabbi Shimon? Fuck Rabbi Shimon Svirulon. But don't we ourselves passkin like Rabbi Shimon? That is a Gemara, different. Farshim send us the different Gemaras, but probably the clearest Gemara is Kuf Nun Zayin Amid Aleph. That's quite clear that we follow like Rabbi Shimon. In most cases that are nebulous, we don't require a positive action to make the object non-muksa. As long as he's not maksa b'yadayim, Rabbi Shimon does not hold of muksa. So we paskin like that, as the Gemara describes in Kuf Nun Zayin Amid Aleph, with a couple of exceptions. Answers the Gemara, Ba'asa d'Rav have lo yiboylem avid hachi. This was in the land of Rav. He shouldn't have publicized against Rav. You don't publicize, even if most people don't follow the Rav on this particular issue, in the Rav's own hometown, you don't publicize. This place, Argiz, Rashi explains it was a certain magician that built an entire city, and Rav Hamnuna lived inside of it. The Gemara now gets involved with a totally different topic, which is quite nuanced, which we'll only make reference to, as our Gemara does, four lines before the Mishnah, the bottom of the Testament base. How do you trade Talmidim with two students? Chad matzil b'chodah mana, v'chad matzil b'arba v'chomesh mana. Each one was saving, in the case of a fire, a basket. The halacha is, according to Mishnah, one is allowed to save three meals. However, the Gemara tells us later on in Kuf Ches Chaf, Amid Aleph, that one is allowed to take a whole basket, even if it has many meals. One Talmud, not only did he save a basket with many meals, one took Arba V'Chamesh, four and five baskets, putting each one on top of the other, Rashi explains. V'kamiflugi b'plugsa the Rav Bar Zavda v'Rav Huna. And this is dependent on a machlokas between Rav Bar Abba and Rav. Rav Bar Zavda, or Rav Huna. The Rav Bar Zavda allows many baskets, and Rav Huna allows only for one basket. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Yutes in Masechta Shabbos in Pshat and Gemara Rashi. The Gemara journeyed us to many, many different places. Some of them, like our last sugya, is just a reference to other sugyas. Be'ezer Hashem, we accomplished quite a bit of beautiful topics. We now go to the halacha section. Our halacha topic from Daf Yutes is an exciting one because it emerges from a pshat issue that the Rishonim raise in our sugya. It is solved with a beautiful lamdus, and then it is applied halacha lemaisa by Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal. Tosis in Dibra Maskel Lo Yaskir. The Gemara tells us 10 lines from the top on Yutes Amid Aleph, a brisa that says that one is not allowed to rent one's utensils to a Gentile on Erev Shabbos, because, as most Rishonim say, Schar Shabbos. It appears that you're making money off of Shabbos. Tosis in Dibra Maskel Lo Yaskir, we spoke out this Tosis a little bit in the Daf Shir as well, says that at first glance one would have thought that the Isser over here in renting out to a Gentile is the opinion of Beis Shammai Lishitaso. There is a requirement of Shvisas Kelim. However, Tosa says that is not correct. This halacha applies even according to Beis Hillel. And the reason for that is the Braisa differentiated between whether you rented it out to him on Friday or you rented it out to him for Wednesday and Thursday. Points out Tosfos, at first glance, one would have thought that if it's Shvisas Kelim, it shouldn't make a difference whether you do it on Wednesday or Thursday or you do it on Friday. However, if the whole issue is that it appears as if he's making Schar and Shabbos, so then if he does it earlier, then it doesn't appear that way. So Tosis is smooth. Tosis explains that the Isser is the appearance of taking Schar on Shabbos. The Rush points out, while learning like Tosis, that the Rif is difficult. That the Rif understood, not like Tosis, that our Sugya is going according to the opinion of Beis Shammai. Hence, the Rif omits this halacha. Asks the Rush, how could you possibly learn that's going according to Beis Shammai, and the reason it's prohibited is because of Shvisas Kelim? Tosfos had an extremely strong argument. If it's Shvisas Kelim, why would it make a difference if it's Wednesday or Thursday or Friday? If we're talking about it appears that you're taking Schar Shabbos, then we understand. Once you do it on Wednesday or Thursday, then it doesn't look like Schar Shabbos. But if it's Shvisas Kelim, and Lamaisa, if a goy has his kelim according to Beis Shammai, is going to be over, that'll be problematic. So how could the Rif have learned that our sugya is going according to Beis Shammai? Reb Chaim, which is quoted in the Chidushei Agra Chal Rambam, which is also referred to as the stencil, gave a brilliant answer for the Rif. Reb Chaim said that the Rif learns at Schar Shabbos, but you need also to explain that that Isser here is going to exist only according to Beis Shammai, only if you hold of an Isser Shvisas Kelim, and not if you hold that Shvisas Kelim is Mutter. Says Reb Chaim, I could be Choker, I could have the following Chakira of what constitutes Schar Shabbos. Is Schar Shabbos the prohibition of profiting on the day of Shabbos? Is that the prohibition? Or is the prohibition of getting reward for a malacha, even if it's a malacha that's permissible, that was done on Shabbos? Reb Chaim claims that the Isser of Schar Shabbos is not simply making a profit on Shabbos. The Isser is taking money for an action that was done on Shabbos. Says Reb Chaim, you need both cases for the Rif in order to have the prohibition of the Sugya. Number one, it needs to be that there was a malacha that was done, and only does Beis Shammai consider a malacha done, because he looks at the kelim as doing actions. But number two, it can't be an iser just of shvisas kelim, because the utensils have been rented to a Gentile. So the iser over here is not one of shvisas kelim, but is schar Shabbos, but schar Shabbos can only be fulfilled, or more precisely violated, if there was a malacha done. And only according to Shammai was there a malacha that was done here. Ad kan divrei hagrach bidivrei harif. Why do we mention this when we discuss halacha from the daily daf? Because this Yisod Reb Chaim is actually important halacha l'maisa for Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. In Perichov Chesed Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Os Kuf Yud, Reb Shlomo Zalman ran with this Reb Chaim. And he said, for according to Reb Chaim's approach, as well as Rav Neuwirth points out that Sofnas Paneach as well says this Bedas Rashi, simply profiting from the day of Shabbos does not constitute a violation of Schar Shabbos. For example, if someone got interest, received a payment of interest based on the day, that on Saturday he got such and such interest, that is not considered Schar Shabbos. Of course, we're talking about Ribbis when it's Mutter. In the Pnine Halacha of the Masifta section, they quote that in the new Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, which I do not have, Shlomo Zalman says that for that reason, someone who is not doing a malacha, for example, someone who is saying Tehillim, would not violate Schar Shabbos, even if it was just for that Shabbos, and it would be acceptable, because the Amira of Tehillim is not a Maisa Malacha at all, it's only a mitzvah, and therefore does not constitute Schar Shabbos. This is a big chidush, but this is how Reb Shlomo Zalman suggested, according to Reb Chaim. I do concede that these halachos need to be fleshed out more with greater Gedolei Torah, but it's a fascinating application of our Tosos and the Pshat in our Sugya with Reb Chaim's Yesod. and Rav Shlomo Zalman's application, the halacha, that the only time there's an Isser of Schar Shabbos is when there's some type of Maisa of Malacha that's done, where the Torah says, don't do that Maisa because you are making money on Shabbos, so don't give the guy that kli that's going to work on Shabbos, because then you are facilitating a Maisa on Shabbos. When it comes to a mitzvah like Amiras Tehillim, so then in such a case, there was no prohibited Maisa that was being done. Hence, it could very well be that in such a case there is no Isser of Schar Shabbos. This concludes the halacha section from Daf Yud Tes.